Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
I don't know if we're seeing enough of my body here, Houston. Our ratings are going to tank. It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning. We are live here at Northwest Community College for the celebration of champions. I promise to my loyal listeners, this is the only time that we will do Thunder and Lightning with a red and blue background. Never again. Only unless you pay us, and then I'll do it. But other than that, it's great to be here in Senatobia at Northwest. We had a fantastic Sports Talk Mississippi. We got to talk to a lot of great people. And Dr. Michael Heindel is going to join us later on in the show to talk about this great event that they had. All of the students are out here. They've got some games outside. They got food trucks outside. I know what you're thinking right now. Oh, there's a food truck, is there? Hey, Dad, I'm not going to go. They did bring me a hot dog. That was nice. I appreciate Coach Benji Parker and his staff doing a hot dog up for me. I appreciate that. We got to talk some Mississippi State sports here. Oh, Rhino down there in Studio X. Rhino, I wish you were here, my friend. Wish you were here at Studio N is what we'll call it, because it was a big N for Northwest right over there. Well, I wish you were here. Mississippi State drops the Governor's Cup last night. 8-7 is the final score in Pearl. Dogs had the lead 7-5 in the bottom of the ninth, three outs away from a really big win, maybe getting a little momentum here, maybe putting themselves back into the discussion for a postseason place. And instead, in what's become kind of a trend over these past few weeks, Mississippi State cannot hold on to that late lead. And drops the game. 8-7 was the final score. Will Furness, by the way, I guess it's just in his DNA to take out Mississippi State. His dad did it for years at LSU, and now he, if you remember last year, he hit the walk-off home run in the game in Oxford. That was the run rule game on the Sunday afternoon, and then he gets the RBI single to win it last night for the Rebels. First off, give full credit to Ole Miss in a game where they could have very easily just taken the loss and said it's a midweek game and we got bigger fish to fry. They didn't. They played really well. I thought that, you know, their bullpen was very, very good, and they got clutch hitting there at the end. But for Mississippi State, it has just been a season littered with these mental errors, with these mistakes, with their inability to make the clutch play at the right time. And more so than that even, they make the bad play at the worst possible time. You know, sometimes when you're a good team, you can make a mistake and it doesn't come back to bite you as much. State doesn't has the opposite of that problem. When they make a mistake, it is absolutely the most painful part of the game you could possibly imagine. Bubba Starber wants to know, did I eat the hot dog? I did. Three bites. Three biter. Borky got it in two. I don't know how he ate that hot dog in two bites. I did it in three. When it comes to, you know, it's a tough conversation to have. And I'm not going to go all the way. I'm not going to give you a hot board or anything like that. But we're talking about Mississippi State baseball. Multiple trips to the College World Series. 71 MLB players. SEC championships. SEC tournament championships. NCAA tournament appearances. This program is looking right at missing the postseason for 3 out of 4 years since they won the national title. And even if I'm willing to concede the idea that it's okay for State to not host every year, I'm not really willing to concede that. But if I am willing to, I'm certainly not going to concede that it's okay to miss the entire postseason for 3 out of 4 years. That is unacceptable. That is what you have to change. And if the guy at the top can't change that, then you have to change the guy at the top. And it's just that simple. And there is no talking yourself out of that. There is no reasoning your way out of it. It is that simple. You've got to go to the postseason if you want to coach baseball at Mississippi State. I would personally go a step further. You've got to host regionals. You've got to be a team that contends for Omaha to be a coach at Mississippi State. But I'm willing to concede you all the way down to just making the postseason. And there you go. And that's how it is. So for State, I just don't know, man. I don't know what this team's going to do. I don't know what this team's going to do in the next few weeks. They could just as easily, you know, win the seven games that they probably need to go to the NCAA tournament. But they could also just as easily just completely fall apart here. I have no, even this deep into the season, I have no feel for this team, for what they are, for what they do. I just can't tell you a lot about them. So it is what it is. And you just have to, you know, kind of look at it and move forward and do that. Dotson literally struck out Furness before the game-winning hit. I mean, if you say so, I'm looking at the box score right here, and I watched the game. Pretty sure Will Furness had the game-winning RBI. Unless we're going to talk about a missed pitch or something, but regardless of all that, Furness did have the game-winning hit. It's just tough, and you know, and you look at State, and it's not a talent issue by any stretch of the imagination. State has enough good players on this team. They've somebody texted Sports Talk earlier, and they said State has scored seven or more runs in their last three games, and they're 1-2 in those games. Seven runs should be enough. And it's just silly mistakes. It's bad decisions. I don't know, man. It's a tough pill to swallow when you look at this team and you look at the way that Mississippi State has played this year. And you look at last year, and I really did think that maybe last year could be a bit of a reset for Mississippi State. And now in retrospect, I look back and I go, they underachieved. You know, they had two top 50 pitchers in their rotation, two top 50 draft choices, I should say. They had, you know, plenty of good hitters up and down the lineup. They had a deep bullpen, and they couldn't even host. And they lost games to Austin Peay and to Central Arkansas and to Air Force and Georgia Southern, and that's the reason they didn't host. They won enough conference games. This year, it's just they feel like they've taken another step back, and it's just not what you expect from Mississippi State baseball. And they're going to have to make some changes, and I just don't see a way around that at this point. I just don't. As much as I would like to, not have to deal with that, but I feel pretty confident in a few weeks the hot boards will be fired up here. Mississippi State heading to Auburn this weekend. Auburn's such an interesting team. They've been swept twice. They're 9-9 in the conference. They could easily have 11 or 12 wins, but they've been swept twice by two of the best teams in the conference, Georgia and Texas. They also swept LSU. So they're coming off of a sweep. They got swept by Texas last week, and so you know that team's going to be hungry. They're going to be looking to, you know, hey, we want to stay in the hosting discussion. We can't afford to lose a second straight series. State has at Auburn, then they host Ole Miss, they host Kentucky, they're at Missouri. If they win seven out of their final 12 games, they will probably go to the postseason. Now, if you want to, we want to have the argument, is that going to be enough to save anybody's job? I don't know. I'll have that discussion with you. But I don't expect them to win seven out of their last 12. Got to take into account that doing that says, okay, we're going to sweep Missouri. And I just don't – as bad as Missouri is, and Missouri to me could very easily go 0-30. At the same time, I just don't know how much I trust Mississippi State to get a sweep. So it just is what it is. They're just going to have to define their way along these next few weeks. If you told me that State did that and they won the requisite number of games and made the postseason, I'll believe you. If you tell me that they go, you know, they have 12 games left, they go 4-8 in that, I'll believe you. I keep saying I just don't have a good feel. And it's crazy that we're, you know, there's only 4 weeks left in this regular season. And yet I don't know game to game, day to day, what Mississippi State team is going to show up to play baseball. I just don't have a good feel for it. You know, sometimes they come out and they pitch well, and then that's the games they can't get a clutch hit. Sometimes they come out and they hit the ball all over the ball yard, but they can't get anybody out. And then they have some games where they look like a team that could beat just about anybody. They have some innings where they look like a great team that could just go out there and win a championship. But it's just not consistent enough. And that comes back to coaching, and that comes back to, you know, who you've got on top and the mindset and the philosophy and the and just what you're doing as a program from top to bottom. You know, when you're inconsistent like this, and if it was a talent issue, I mean, yeah, you recruit the talent. I understand that. But I'd be willing to forgive that a little bit more. This team, the pieces are much, much better than what the results have been for Mississippi State thus far. So, all right, when we come back, let's talk football. I had a chance to talk to Jeff Lebby earlier this week. You should have heard that interview on Sports Talk or maybe on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. What did I think about what Jeff Lebby had to say, and what do I think about Mississippi State football going into the end of spring practice and going into the off season? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here at Northwest Community College in Senatobia for their celebration of champions.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
I'm converting them one person at a time. Our friend Ed in Columbus is not a big fan of me, but today, Negative Nelly is what he likes to call me. You and I agree again. What's up with that? Don't care if we go 12-0 in the last four series. Lemonis has to go. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Ed. Ed, whether you agree with me or disagree with me, the fact that you tune in, that's all I care about, my friend. So I appreciate you. I think that we will be talking about that in a few weeks. I just don't see a way around that as it is. We hope. I would love for that not to be the case, but I think the only way that doesn't happen is a deep run in the postseason, because they're not going to host this year. That's not possible at this point. But could they come back and find their way into a super regional? If they did that, it would be difficult to make a move. I don't think you would at that point. Let's talk football. This past Saturday, I was at Davis Wade Stadium for the first time since last November to watch Mississippi State play Mississippi State. And that was what happened in the spring game. I liked what they did last year better with the spring game, the way they set it up to have scoring for, you know, different, you know, long plays and defensive plays, because you get a 9-0 final score and you're like, that's boring. And it was. They played two 15-minute quarters. I guess I shouldn't say two quarters, right? Two halves, 15 minutes running clock. I thought that it's difficult to judge, right? Because I brought this up on the podcast. If you're an older Mississippi State fan like me, you might remember when Antonio Hargrove was at State and they would release the scrimmage information, and he had like 7 catches for 145 yards. You're like, this guy's going to be Randy Moss. And then you just found out that fall the defense was terrible. That's all that happened. So I thought, though, that defensively, two things, State looked bigger. You know, going back to last year, you look at some of those guys, they did not look like SEC football players. This group, if nothing else, does. I thought they were more aggressive. Now, I don't know if that was by design or not, and I'm going to get to the other side of that equation. But I was, just to give you guys a little inside baseball, when you have a scrimmage, State's not doing the live stats, right? So there's no way to get stats for the scrimmage. So what you do is, there are 6 or 7 of us up there, and we break down the stats by person. So one guy is responsible for tracking the quarterbacks. One guy is responsible for tracking the runners and the receivers. One guy's tracking tackles. My job on Saturday was what we called big defensive plays, tackle for loss, any turnovers, and sacks. And so I made the joke before the scrimmage started. I said, I'm going to have the easiest job in the world today. This defense doesn't make big plays. They did. I think they had a total of 7 sacks. And I think 10 tackles for loss, something like that. So, I, you know, again, we're not going to know anything until Mississippi State heads down to Hattiesburg that first weekend. That's when we'll really know. But just from watching that, I at least came away with some encouragement that they should, they can be improved defensively. That's all I could take. But the other side of the equation exists, right? I thought that the offensive line is still very much a work in progress. Now, and I talked to Jeff Lebby about that on Monday. Two things. One, obviously, the rosters were not constructed as first team versus second team. So you weren't seeing the full first team offensive line working together. And even if you had all first teamers, Albert Reese was injured. He wasn't playing. He's a likely starter. But they do need help on the offensive line. And if you looked at the guys they're bringing in from the transfer portal here in this second window, and if you listen, Jeff Lebby has, if nothing else, has been consistent. From day one of the start of spring practice, we need to get better at that position. We need to get better at that position. We're going to have to continue to bring guys in. We need more competition there. And I don't think he's just saying it to hear himself say it. When you look at that offensive line, they need some help there. Now, like I said, State is much, much better defensively from a depth perspective than where they were 12 months ago. You've got 22 guys who I feel can at least play and hold their own in the SEC. Maybe 22 might be a stretch, maybe, because I still don't know about the cornerback position. And you still got some unproven guys. But I feel better about them from a depth perspective. I feel like the starting 11 certainly will have guys that belong on an SEC football field. But they got to get that offensive line better. The quarterbacks, obviously the talk coming out of it was about the true freshman, Kamario Taylor. You can see the talent. All right, you know, if you want to make your Dollar General Cam Newton comments, I'll take them because that's who he looks like. He's big, strong kid, big arm. A couple of throws he made prior to the start of the game, Robbie Faulk grabs my attention. He's like, look at Kamario. And he throws one where he just basically flicks his wrist like if I was throwing somebody a beer across the yard and the ball goes 50 yards. Then he throws another one where I'm actually paying attention and off his back foot, throws it 55 yards. And I'm just like, goodness gracious, this kid. He can move. You can see the athleticism. But he also, it's not just a big arm. He's got some touch on the ball. But the best case scenario for Mississippi State is he doesn't take one snap this season, unless he takes one in the games he's going to redshirt. He gets four games. But he should not take a starting snap for Mississippi State this year. You'd like to keep Blake Shapen healthy. We talked to Shapen after the scrimmage, and, you know, he talked about he and Lebby having the conversation that I've got to play smarter this year. I can't be as reckless. I don't know how you do that, to be honest with you. I don't know how, when you have played a certain way your whole life, you can talk about playing different. But when the whistle blows and it's all muscle memory and instinct and everything else, how do you do that? So I don't know. I'll just be pleasantly surprised if we get into November and Blake Shapen is still playing quarterback for Mississippi State. If that happens, I will tell you that there's a path for State to be improved. And that's about as optimistic as I really want to get. I think, because, you know, obviously the schedule is very, very difficult. But is there a path where State wins their four non-conference games? And I know that includes Arizona State. That will be a very, very tough game for Mississippi State. But State only lost to that team by, what, three last year? And I feel like if they had played them later in the season, maybe would have had a better chance. Early in the season, before the running game really got going. By the end of the season, again, I don't think State would have won, but it might have looked different. That game being at home helps, obviously. So can you get four there and one of your conference games? Can you just beat Arkansas? Can you find a way to beat somebody at home? Who knows what Tennessee's going to be without, you know, with their quarterback issues? I don't know. I'm not saying State's going to beat Tennessee. I'm not saying State's going to be favored. I'm not saying State's even going to be better than a 15-point underdog. I'm just throwing out a scenario. If State were to get to five wins this year, that would be a huge boost forward. That would give you some confidence that what Lebby's doing is working. I recall, you know, Lebby had a top 25 recruiting class. He had a top 25 portal class coming out of a 2-10 season. So that gives me some hope that the guy can recruit. I thought that from a filling the needs standpoint, they did a pretty decent job. Thank you. I'm doing the best I can, my friend. I think they did a decent job. They missed out on a couple of guys here and there, but by and large, you know, I feel like Lebby has improved the talent on the roster each of the 2 years that he's been here in Starkville. So, what did I take away from the spring game? Is, you know, I took away a little positivity, not much. I'm not gonna come in here and tell you that State's going to a bowl game. I don't think they will. But I think they can be better than last season. And quite honestly, as much as it kind of hurts to say that, as much as, you know, as a State fan, you want your team to be better and you want them to go to bowl games and compete. You know, it's a 12-team playoff, and what do we got to do to get it? It is going to be a process. And I don't like that because, you know, in this day and age of the transfer portal, I feel like you should be able to flip your roster quickly. But maybe it just can't be that way. It's not going to be that way for State. It's not going to be that way for State. It's going to be a bit of a process. But if Lebby shows improvement here in year two, you go into, now next year I would expect real improvement. Next year it needs to be a bowl team. It needs to be a team that is, you know, a lot more competitive, winning SEC games. 2026 needs to be that season. I'm not willing to sacrifice 2025. And I will tell you that if another season like you had a year ago, you know, 2-10 again, 2-10, 0-8, and you're telling me Lebby has started off his career 4-20 and 0-16 in the conference, well, then maybe it's a lot more difficult conversation than you want to have about a second-year head coach. But that's what happened to Chad Morris at Arkansas. It was, you just looked up and you're like, that guy's, he's not going to win. You got to move on. What I'll say about Lebby is two things. And we'll talk a little bit more about it. I didn't really even go into my interview with him. I believe he's a good football coach. In terms of, I believe he knows how to coach football. All right, there's that. And I believe he has a plan that he believes in. It's just, are we going to believe in it? Are we going to see results? I think he's smart enough to know that, hey, I need results this year. I need to go down to Southern Mississippi week one and beat them up and give our fans some confidence that this season is going to be different. I know that if I play poorly in week one, our fans are going to revolt. So we'll talk more about that. Let's talk about the conversation I actually had with him on Monday when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here from Northwest Community College in Senatobia. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. It has been a great day here at Northwest Community College for their celebration of champions. That's not just a title either. They were legitimate. This was a literal celebration of champions of football and soccer and rodeo and cheer and dance, all national and conference champions, Northwest. Really, do, and apparently we talked to all of those people last fall, and so now the pressure's on to keep that momentum going. We'll do all we can here on Sports Talk and on Thunder and Lightning. So that being said, I mentioned earlier that Dr. Michael Heindel might join us. Not going to be able to join us. I get it. It's late. Nobody wants to be here. I get it. It's time to go home. It's time to go home. Even Alex is looking at me. She's like, why? I'm never selling a Wednesday remote ever again. I get it. So, like I said, I talked to Jeff Lebby on Monday. And first off, the man is a machine. I asked him 12 questions and it took 11 minutes. I don't think that's physically possible, but apparently it is. But I think he answers questions the way he calls plays, man. He lives with a tempo. So I'm kind of okay with it. I would like for him to have gone a little deeper on something, especially some of the big picture stuff I asked him at the beginning. But this is a guy that, you know, he just tells you what he actually is thinking, which is a rare thing, I think, for coaches nowadays. You know, you don't get that too often. And so he was direct and to the point with me. And one of the main things he talked about was what we talked about just a moment ago, was his desire to continue to improve the talent on this year's roster in this next transfer portal window. And you've seen it already. State is being, you know, linked with a number of offensive linemen, defensive backs. Feels like they might continue to look at on the defensive side of the ball on the line, just trying to get some guys that they can play in. And I asked him, I said, you know, how difficult is it to evaluate these guys? Because you don't have spring practice to do that. It's one thing when you get a transfer in December and you got all spring to really work with them and get an idea of what they are. What do you do when you don't have that opportunity? And he's like, you really got to rely on the film, and you got to have guys coming in who have played at this level before, played in the SEC or played in, at least in power football, to give yourself an opportunity that when fall camp or preseason camp starts up, that they're ready to go. So hopefully that's going to be the case for Mississippi State. I talked to him about it, the offensive side of the ball. I love his running back room. And if you listened, I think it was last week on Thunder and Lightning on the podcast, I made a bold prediction that State would be a top five running team in the SEC this year. But when you look at that group and Booth, Bothwell, Johnny Daniels, we had a texter on the C Spire text line. What do you think about Fluff? I want him to be great so we can hear his name called all season. He looked good. I thought the running backs looked good. The guy that we've kind of left out is Xavier Gayton, the kid from Brookhaven, who, if you remember last year, the opportunities he got weren't many, but they were memorable. He flashed some real speed, some real ability, and he looked really good on Saturday. I thought he was one of the more impressive offensive players. So what is his role going to be? You know, how many running backs can you make happy? We've talked about it before when Lebby was at Ole Miss, and you know, he had Snoop Connor and Jerrion Ealy and Henry Parrish, and then Corral actually took up a good chunk of the rushing yards too. If State really wants to have less from the running game from Chapin, do they need a fourth back to step up? And that could be Gayton there. Or he could, I mean, quite honestly, just based off of what I saw on Saturday, if you told me he's the third running back or even the second running back, I wouldn't be totally surprised by it, because he played really well, and he's played when he's gotten the chance at Mississippi State. The quarterbacks for State, you know, when you're talking about Chapin, Cromanhawk, and Taylor, Chapin is in a pretty unenviable position because everybody saw what they saw from Taylor. Everybody knows his recruiting profile. He's the Mississippi kid. He's the future. The first time, Robbie Faulk said the first time he throws an interception, I think the first time he throws an incompletion, first time he airmails a ball and it goes 10 yards over somebody's head, or the first time a ball is short, the whole team is going to be like, hey, why aren't we, or not the whole team, the whole fan base is going to be like, hey, why don't we put the freshman in? You know, especially if State's struggling, they're going to say, why not just go ahead and make the change? You can't do that. Chapin does give you the best chance to win this year, and you do need to win some games this year. You can't just write that off and say, hey, we're going to be another 3-4 wins. Just who cares? Let's just get the freshman in there. You got to let Chapin play. Chapin's earned that right, and Chapin's your best quarterback right now. Cromanhawk didn't play well on Saturday, but you can see the talent, if nothing else. He's got the arm. He can move. He's fine. So Lebby likes his quarterbacks. He likes his running backs. He likes his receivers as well. And, you know, there's not a lot of proven talent there, but there's a lot of speed. And, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, there are a lot of guys that are fast. How do you get guys who are fast and then can play receiver? You know, what is that evaluation process like? And he talked about it in some detail. And basically, you know, again, it's about trusting your evaluations and knowing your players. The one thing that I like about it is, you know, Anthony Evans is a guy that he recruited very heavily out of high school. I know he ended up signing with Georgia, but he was very heavily recruited by Oklahoma when Lebby was there. And then you have Brennan Thompson, who was at Oklahoma with Lebby. Those are the two guys that he mentioned by name that I think could have big years for Mississippi State. I thought Aiden Williams, the transfer from Ole Miss, looked pretty good as well. He had a long catch that was called back on a holding penalty, but he you know, looks the part as well. I think State has some options there, but I can't sit here on April 23rd with any, you know, and with any conviction tell you, oh yeah, for sure those guys are going to be great. Now, I can tell you with conviction, because it happens literally every year, and we've talked about this before, every year there's one guy in that group that's going to be 60 to 70, 80 catches, you know, 700, 800 yards, 7, 8, 9 touchdowns. Last year was Kevin Coleman. It's been Elijah Moore and Dontario Drummond at Ole Miss. It's been Marvin Mims and Drake Stoops at Oklahoma. Who is that guy this year? I think it's Anthony Evans because I think he's going to that slot position, and I think he's going to be get the first crack at it. But somebody in that receiver group is going to have an all-SEC caliber season. Defensively, he says he feels good about his linebackers, and I think he should. Brandon Jennings and Zachary Tillman coming back are quality players. Those guys can play in the SEC. You add Jalen Smith from Tennessee. You know he can play in the SEC. He was good last year at Tennessee. You've added a couple of other key guys there. And don't sleep on the true freshman Tyler Lockhart. Again, just from an athletic standpoint, he's got that ability. He's got the athleticism to play early in his career at Mississippi State. Well, the safeties, like that group. I like that group. I thought the best defensive player on the field Saturday was Tony Mitchell, the transfer from I shouldn't say it too loud here in San Antonio, the transfer from EMCC. They're booing us, but that's where he's from. You know, came from Alabama, then went to EMCC, now he's at Mississippi State. He was all over the field. He had two tackles for a loss and a sack. He looked like he was a good SEC player. Isaac Smith is Isaac Smith, as consistent a player as we're going to have in SEC football. I am hopeful that Isaac Smith is not leading Mississippi State in tackles again. When it's never good to have a safety leading you in tackles. And he talked a little bit about his role, because there's been some talk, you know, is he moving a linebacker? Not at all. He's not moving a linebacker, but he's versatile enough that he can come up to the line of scrimmage and play near the line of scrimmage as a linebacker, but he's definitely all the safety. Bill and Starville asked about Stonka Burnside, also looked really good. Just a natural safety. I think that position change did him a world of good. That position change, his ceiling went from good college player to NFL player. Now, that's his ceiling. He has to work to get to that, but it's there. So, yeah, I liked what I saw from Stonka. I thought Jabrius Stewart, another JUCO transfer. I forget which. I think he went to Southwest. Don't hold me to that. But I thought he made a couple of plays. Tyler Woodard, another EMCC guy who had a sack in the game. That safety group is good. If State can go out and get a portal cornerback, they have a chance to be okay in the secondary. They have a chance to be better than okay. They have a chance to be good at the linebacker position. On the defensive line, I still need to wait and see, because I just don't know enough about State's offensive line to sit here and grade what I saw from them on the defensive line. I know they added a lot of guys. I like Will Whitson. I like Nevaeh Sanders. I like Red Hibbler. I think those are guys who can play at this level, but I'm going to wait and make my assessment on that. So nothing I saw from State made me think, oh, God, they're worse than I thought they were going to be. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that they're a team that is going to be a bowl team in 2025. We got to wait and see and learn a little bit more. All right, we'll wrap it up. We'll talk some hoops in the last few minutes when we come back. Mississippi State has had some portal activity, some going in, some coming out, some of the same guy doing both. We'll talk about that when we come back as Mississippi State finishes up in the portal for 2025, and we will wrap things up here from Northwest Community College as the celebration of champions is starting to wind down. We've had a great day here in Senatobia. We'll finish it up when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Let's do it one more time here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. I'm here at Northwest Community College here for their celebration of champions. I did say we were going to talk some state hoops. Just go to the podcast. We'll do it there. It'll be all right. Dr. Andrew Dale joins me now. He is the assistant vice president in charge of community relations.
That's correct.
I got it. I did it. They were betting on me not being able to get that back there. That's a big title. I always like to ask, you got a big title. What does that mean you do?
It's a big job.
Okay.
So you're
a big man.
I am.
Yeah.
My responsibility is to tell everybody outside of Northwest how awesome Northwest is.
You do a really good job of that because we've been here twice now in the last, I guess, how many months? Like 8 months.
Yep.
And every time I come here, I'm impressed. And you're showing me some new facility that you guys have built, or that you're building, or this old facility that still looks like a good facility. I talked to you. We took a little tour earlier today, and I talked to you about, you know, when I was a high school kid, there would maybe have been was a bit of a stigma around community colleges. Oh, he had to go to the community college first before he could go to State or Ole Miss. I don't think that stigma exists as much anymore. Because, A, it shouldn't. You can get a great start to your education here at any community college in this state. But, B, you walk around. This is a college campus. This is not a community college campus. It looks like – I live in Starkville. I know what it looks like at State. Look at these facilities. It's really incredible.
It really is a unique place to work. Mm-hmm. And just to see all of the students that are just hanging out right here. We got the food truck out here.
Yeah.
They're just having a good afternoon, throwing the ball and playing – some games out here in the parking lot. This is where they live.
Yeah.
It's what they would do if they were at their house. So all of the things that are going on, all the momentum, it really has to come down to leadership and Dr. Heindel's influence and everything happening here. But everybody's caught the vision to do the three things. So our mission, vision, and values, specifically the vision of the college is to transform student lives, enrich our local communities, and strive for excellence in their educational programs and services. And if it doesn't meet that three pyramid mandate, then we're not going to do it. Chick-fil-A is on campus.
Yeah.
Why? Because they do awesome work.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the customer service. We have that mission model for us as well, for our students. You know, and we're not just here in Senatobia. We have a campus in Oxford.
Right.
We have a campus in DeSoto. But that stigma sort of still does exist a little bit. And I just would challenge individuals to look at it. You know, the college cost, and Dr. Heindel mentioned it earlier, it's less than a sixth of the cost of a four-year school to come to a community college. And the equation only gets better the longer you stay and the more grades you get here. Again, you're going to be successful if you're engaged with us because I did my dissertation in that. I studied community colleges students at the university and statistically significant results that community colleges who go to the university do better than students who start at the university. And that's no knock on the university students, but you got to think about if you've made that passage, that you've taken time, you've made decisions, and you know you're going towards a goal that you want to do. You know, if I buy an organic apple or a regular apple, you know, you still got, like, one costs more than the other.
Right.
And you could use this model in a whole lot of things that you can just buy, but like clothes or whatever. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks after I've eaten that apple, do I feel any different?
No.
I'm just out the more money.
Yeah.
And to some respect, that's what happens even on the legislative side. Like, you got to think about how the state of Mississippi reimburses four-year schools versus community colleges. It's vastly different. Mm. So there's a lot of money on both sides, both on tuition and both how the state funds those institutions. And if everybody just engaged with community colleges across the state would do better. The students would do better. We would have more success at the university because students are more prepared to do what they need to do, and they're not as distracted. I mean, obviously, the community colleges is built for a gap between. It's close to home. You're not completely on your own, thrown to the wind, wild nights, whatever. There's a little safety net there, and
yeah.
We kind of talked about that,
yeah.
And even personally. So, like, it's a stair step. There are so many balances and checks for students or for family members. It just is the best way possible in Mississippi to engage in higher education.
How long have you been here at Northwest?
I've been here 4 years.
4 years. So what do you think, and we're going 4 years ago, what it looked like then. What do you think it looks like 4 years from now?
Oh, my God.
You got
God.
About a minute left.
Yeah. It's, so, I
mean, can you do that in 60 seconds?
It is rapidly transforming. This Heindel Center across the street wasn't open. Mm-hmm. We've built 8 buildings in the time that I've been here. Mm-hmm. 2 dorms, athletic facilities, revamped and remodeled, a ton of things. And so it's engaged interest. The college was positioned to be better, but this already is way larger than my original college experience as a college student. So to be able to be here and be a part of just everything that's going on, it's fabulous, but I would encourage everybody to check in with it as well.
I would too, as well. We've had a great experience here at Northwest. Look forward. We're coming back, I guess, in the fall.
Yes.
I mean,
we have to.
When we show up, championships get won.
That's exactly what happens.
I'm going to want a ring if it happens again. I'm just going to let you. I'll let you off this one time.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow, Sports Talk Mississippi, and then Friday, Sports Talk Mississippi will be live in Oxford for the Double Decker Festival. I was going to get it out eventually. Yeah. Don't worry about that. All right, we'll talk to you again soon. For Rhino in Studio X, for Dr. Dale, for Alex, for Houston, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening. Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.